Hey guys, this is Justin Roran, pastor of Restoration Church, and like folks all over the world right now, we're dealing with the ramifications of the COVID-19 virus pandemic. We're not able to gather like all the other churches, and so you're hearing the podcast. It's still going to keep going, but it's going to be from our home, and it's going to be in congruence also with the video and online resources, and you can find those at restorationlex.com/online, ways to get connected in community, ways to serve in the middle of a very difficult time. So I encourage you to check that out. Again, it's restorationlex.com/online. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. Happy Easter to you, Restoration. It's so good to be with you. So good to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And for thousands of years, we've said as we gather, we say he is risen, and you say he is risen indeed. So wherever you're at, on your couch or in your kitchen table with your family, dog, cat, whoever may be with you, or by yourself, wherever you're at, I want you to say this out loud right now. I say, he is risen. You say, he is risen indeed. All right, I'm going to check you on that. I'm going to make sure you said that. I cannot wait to gather with you, hopefully maybe next Easter as we do this, and be able to say that and say it loudly and celebrate that together. And man, we do need the resurrection in a time like this, don't we? We need the promise of what Jesus has offered us in his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that's what we celebrate today on this Easter Sunday. So today's actually a continuation of a story that we looked at on Friday night for Good Friday. It's in John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, what we see is that there's two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they have a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus is really sick. So they call for Jesus to come, one of their close friends, and to heal Lazarus. But Jesus does something weird. He stays where he's at for 2 days. I mean, that's not something that I would imagine Jesus to do, but he intentionally decides to stay where he's at. And so we find out in the story, he gets there. He comes on the scene 4 days after Lazarus is actually already in the tomb. And there's mourners, you know, for Jews, they mourned for about a week. There was a tradition to do that. So there were still mourners around, people still crying. He shows up, and Mary and Martha, they're distraught still, of course. And they both separately come to Jesus with a really, really honest statement. They say, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Do you feel the freedom to say that kind of honest statement to God in your own pain? That's what we talked about Friday night, is the fact that God is not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our fears. He's not afraid of our longings and our failures. He's not afraid for us to bring the raw, deep emotion that we're feeling in moments of grief, like right now. In fact, scriptures call him the man of sorrows. What we see in the cross is not just that he suffered for us and taking our sin, which is huge, it's central to our faith, but he also shows us in this story and in the story of the cross that Jesus suffers with us. There's no pain that he is not with us within. There's no sorrow, there's no question, there's no doubt, there's no fear, there's no failure that Jesus doesn't share with us, weeping with us. In this story with Mary and Martha, as he comes to Mary, he begins to weep. The two words of the shortest verse in the scriptures, Jesus wept. And even though it's a short verse, it's incredibly profound for what it reveals about the character of God, that in the midst of our sufferings, that God chooses to step in and to suffer with us. So he weeps after responding to Mary in that way, but there's another instance in which he responds to Martha. And instead of just walking in and beginning to cry with her, he gives Martha a promise that's going to be central for where we're headed today in John chapter 11. So I want you to get in your Bibles or on your app, or you can look on the screen here. And we're going to look at verse 21 of John chapter 11. This is where Martha asked the question. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Then four important words, a question for Martha and a question for us this Easter morning. Jesus says, do you believe this? I believe that he's not just asking that to Martha. I believe through the scriptures, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's asking us that same question today. Do you believe this? Now, as Western Enlightenment Americans, our understanding of belief is primarily intellectual. We think if we can wrap our head around it, if we can get a bullet point list of things that we know to be true about it, if we can cognitively agree with it, then that must mean we believe it. But I don't believe that that's the kind of belief that Jesus is asking Martha to express in this moment. I don't believe that Jesus would walk up to one of his closest friends and to respond in her grief to a theological test. That he would try to make sure that her doctrine is right before he steps into a miracle with her. Instead, I think belief, and I believe faith, as we've said many times in our community, is embodied trust. You've probably heard many times we say faith is simply taking the next step. And the next step after that, and the next step after that, and following Jesus step by step by faithful step as we listen and learn from him in these moments. It's not just what happens in our head. It's what happens in our hands and our feet and our heart and our voice as we follow him day after day. And this is really where the rubber meets the road in these moments. We find that Jesus stands up, eyes probably still red and puffy and weary with tears. He stands up in the midst of this grief and he begins to walk towards Lazarus, his tomb. And, you know, it's one thing to believe in resurrection as a theological concept that's maybe more relevant to the future. And that's what Martha says. Yeah, I believe in the resurrection on the last day. Yes, yes, yes. It's another thing to believe in the resurrection for the here and the now. And I can just imagine the scene as Jesus stands up and he begins to walk towards the tomb and the disciples are following and Mary and Martha are following and all these mourners are following and they're probably really, really nervous about what's about to happen. I mean, it's kind of nerve-wracking. I don't know, Jesus, is this really going to happen? I know we said we believe in resurrection, but like this is something far bigger than that. I think in these moments that people like Martha and Mary and the disciples, they were challenged to take that next embodied step of trust, to take a step-by-step-by-step walk with Jesus towards resurrection, not just as something that happens in the future, but resurrection as something that happens right now. It's one thing for us to believe in that beautiful truth of resurrection for our future. And it's a whole nother thing to believe in the truth, the message of Easter, the message of the resurrection of Jesus, and the here and the now. I'm sure as they arrived at the tomb, there was a myriad of emotions, and the nerves of people were probably just on edge. As he walks up, Martha even says, "Lord, he's been in the tomb for 4 days, he's probably not going to smell very good." So as the story continues, let's look at it. Going back into John chapter 11, starting in verse 40. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' And when he'd said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!' The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" God, I love that statement. Take off those grave clothes and let him go. Jesus moves resurrection out of the future and into the present. Jesus speaks and Lazarus lives. Jesus speaks and death retreats. Imagine the power. And it's that kind of power that we see in the story, that we see in the here and the now, begins to make people nervous. As the story continues in John 11, the Pharisees and the people in power, they start to get nervous. If this man can raise people from the dead, what might come next? You know what might be threatened? We might be threatened with the powers of Rome coming in and sacking us. We might ourselves lose power. It's always interesting to see who's threatened by a resurrected Jesus. Whose power begins to fade in light of this humble, resurrected King. Pay attention to who is threatened by a resurrected Jesus, because it's probably someone that lives by death, and when resurrected life comes into the picture, they can't live on that anymore. People in power start to get nervous. It says in verse 50, Caiaphas, one of the high priests, he's telling everyone in a prophetic statement. He doesn't know it's prophetic at the time. He said, it's better for one man to die for all people than for the whole nation to perish. And that's true. It was better that this Jesus could die for all people instead of the sins causing the whole world to perish. So with the help of Rome, they gather up Jesus, they capture him, they take him, they beat him, they bloody his body, they push a crown of thorns down upon his head, they carry him up a hill with a cross, this hill called Golgotha, which they called the place of the skull, and they crucified him on this excruciating, that's where we get the word excruciating, from the cross, this excruciating death, this death that was designed to torture. It was reserved for only the worst political criminals. And right there on the cross, Jesus breathed his last breath, and it looked like the story was over. It looked like that Jesus was just a good teacher, a good example, a good humanitarian. He had some great ideas. And listen, people in power then and people in power now are completely fine with a Jesus who just is a good example for us. They're fine with a Jesus that just has some good ideas, that's a good teacher. But people begin to get threatened by something more. I imagine in that day they probably were fine with Jesus fading off into memory. Maybe there's a statue, maybe a few people follow his ideas, but eventually, just like the other would-be messiahs at the time, his memory would fade. But that's not how the story ends. You see, 3 days later, just as he had promised, some women walked up to the tomb in which he was laid, in which he was buried, and they walk up and see that the stone has been rolled away. And not only has the stone been rolled away, but they see these angels that are standing there. And they're frightened, they're scared, but the angels say, don't be afraid. They say, why do you look for the living among the dead? They say, he is not here, he is risen. He is not here, he is risen. The promise that Jesus made to Martha when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, was so much bigger than just Lazarus. You see, Jesus didn't just offer resurrection. Jesus says, I am in myself resurrection. I am in myself the life. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. And this wasn't a resurrection that was simply him being raised into the hearts and minds of his people as a wonderful, inspiring person. This was a bodily, new creation resurrection. Jesus had a physical, renewed body. That's way bigger than just an idea. And if this king that's promising a new kingdom based not on the powers of this world but on the power of self-giving love is resurrected and cannot be defeated and has actually in himself defeated death, and people start to get nervous, and people still get nervous. I love N.T. Wright. He says, we could cope, the world could cope, the Jesus who ultimately remains a wonderful idea inside his disciples' minds and hearts. The world cannot cope with a Jesus who comes out of the tomb, who inaugurates God's new creation right in the middle of the old one. Friends, I think we find ourselves in some really difficult times. A time when it seems as if death is all around us and the emotions and the fears of our time can be overwhelming. But I remember in the story of Lazarus and Jesus and Mary and Martha something that I believe is a promise for us today. That while Jesus is with us and he weeps with us and he shares in our pain, he shares in our suffering, he suffers with us, he suffers for us, eventually Jesus stands up and he begins to walk towards the tomb where resurrection would take place. In many ways, my friends, that's where we are. We are in the walk between the pain and the resurrection. And so maybe the challenge for us this Easter Sunday morning, as we look around and see pain all around us, is that Jesus reaches down and offers his hand and pulls us up and invites us to walk towards the tomb that's about to be opened. Death is a reality. It's a reality all around us. And this isn't new. It's just that because of this pandemic, we've learned that death is real in ways that we probably ignored before. That's why Christians for 2,000 years have remembered that even in the midst of our suffering and pain, that resurrection is a deeper reality. That's why many have suffered horrible deaths. It's why many have been martyred. It's why many have gone into sickness and pain and death themselves and had deep abiding joy, because death was not the final word. Resurrection was the final word. Faithful followers of Jesus for thousands of years have known that even in our weeping, even in our suffering, Jesus is about to walk towards a tomb he's going to open and bring resurrection. Here's how I would love to challenge you this Easter Sunday morning. In whatever pain or struggle you are facing, I pray that you would come to the cross, that you would offer it to him. He is not afraid of your longings. He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of your hard questions. You can come to him and trust that he's not somewhere high up there, detached from the realities of our suffering, but he is actually with us, weeping the same tears. But followers of Jesus know that even in that weeping, we know that we're about to walk towards resurrection. So my prayer today is that maybe you take this moment, this brief moment as we gather together, and you stand up with Jesus and you take that first step towards resurrection. If you're a follower of Jesus, maybe today is a reminder that you have lost sight of the resurrection being something that's for the here and the now and not just in the future. That God can raise up life even here and now. And I also believe that there's people under the sound of my voice as you're watching this video that maybe you've believed that Jesus is wonderful. You've been a fan of him. He's a great idea. He's a great teacher. He's a good example. But maybe today's the day that you follow him as Lord, that you take that step forward in faith for the first time. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all your theological ducks in order. No one did that Jesus invited to be a disciple, and yet he said, come and follow me. And to you today, he says, come and follow me. If that's you, whatever decision you feel like the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart this Easter Sunday morning, don't leave it there. I want you to, in the comment section, if you're on the Facebook video, to go down and to put that there, that I want to follow Jesus. I want to take that next step. Or if you're watching this or listening to this later, you can send it into info at Restoration Lakes. You can do that as well. Or you can put it on our website, on our Connect card. There's tons of ways. Contact us. Let us know that you want to take that next step of faith so we can help you move forward with our family of faith together. Friends, death is all around us, but resurrection is a deeper reality. Today, on this Easter Sunday, we remember that Jesus is leading us to resurrection. Let's pray. Father, in the stillness of this moment, would you remind us of the victory over the grave that you have accomplished in Jesus Christ? Would you remind us that Satan, sin, and death have lost their power? Would you remind us that on the cross that our sin was taken, that your righteousness, your life was given to us? And remind us, Jesus, that as you were risen up from the grave, that you are now raising us up from our own graves, calling us to life in you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to continue to do as resurrection people are formed and sent right here in this community. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to continue on in worship through celebrating communion. What a day to celebrate this meal together. So if you have elements, if you have a piece of bread or a cracker or juice, whatever that may be, it doesn't have to be perfect. The beauty of this is the imperfection of these moments where we share in this meal, scattered wherever we are in our homes, remembering that we still belong to Jesus and we still belong to one another. So for a few moments here, we're going to take these elements, or if you're just going to sit there, just reflect on what the Lord is speaking to you today. Maybe write something in the comments of the Facebook section or the comment section there, or you can send us something there. Let us know how we can pray for you and help you take that next step of faith.